Today, another reason to smash the cash ban. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to his posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In the past week, I've received more than 100 stories from people who were caught in the bushfire emergencies on the south coast of New South Wales and in Victoria, relating to the real issues which emerge when the power goes off and all electronic payment systems and ATMs stop working. This photo tells the story. You want petrol? You're paying cash. These days, credit and debit card transactions can't really be made using manual system. This used to be the case, which is why the account details on cards are actually embossed. This was also covered in the media. The Guardian, for example, reported on the fact that Australia's bushfire towns battle on, despite what they've lost: supplies, power, houses, the lot. And the Canberra Times said that after power cuts, a Milton supermarket imposed a six-item limit and cash only as residents queued for supplies while waiting for power. Customers paid in cash only and staff calculated their totals using calculators. And the Daily Mail told the same story with the headline, "Looting Horror as Desperate Evacuees Steal from Petrol Stations and Shops After Power Outages Stop Them Using Credit Cards." On the state's south coast, people were stealing food off shelves because ATMs weren't working and people had no money. In other towns, people were filling up their cars and driving off without paying as they had no cash to spend. In a digitally connected electronic world, it all turns to custard when the power goes off. But now consider this. We've been highlighting the issues relating to the current cash transaction restriction bill, which was passed by the lower house before Christmas and is now under review in the Senate, with a hearing planned in Sydney at the end of January and the report then to be released in February. As I discussed in my recent post, there are many reasons why we should resist this bill, but one which I called out was just the question of what happens in an emergency. As I said in my submission to the Senate, we have seen recent system and power failures, which have caused disruption to the electronic payment systems. If cash is less available and restricted, a failure would be even more significant and inconvenient and could damage the economy. Now, the bill allows the cash to be used in, quote, exceptional circumstances, like power outages. But my point is that removing the ability to use cash for transactions above $10,000, making illegal what is legal today, is the thin end of the wedge. The effect is to trap people into the digital power-hungry banking system, restricting the use of cash and making us more reliant on unreliable electronic payment mechanisms. In addition, some supporters of the bill are arguing for a reduction in the limit to as low as $1,000. This would require additional legislation, but experience from overseas suggests this is a real risk. So I believe we need to maintain our full rights to pay in cash for whatever we want. It is, after all, legal tender, and that it is a good idea to keep a stash of cash for emergencies. In a recent survey, I found that more than half of households assumed that electronic payment means and ATMs would always be available in an emergency, so they did not hold cash in reserve. We need to expect the unexpected, because in a fully digital future, a power cut is more than inconvenient. It has the potential to strip us of a fundamental human right. It's not too late to make sure that the Senate understands the full implications of the proposed legislation. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.